The news from Iraq continues to be painful. Four more Marines killed today. That after 14 Marines and their Iraqi translator lost their lives in a massive roadside bombing in the Euphrates River Valley in western Iraq yesterday. Seven other Marines in that same part of the country were killed on Monday. In all, more than two dozen soldiers have been killed in western Iraq since Monday. This deadly toll has fallen almost exclusively on one regiment of reserves, 3rd Battalion, 25th Marines, and on one region of the country. In the past week, 19 of the dead were Ohio-based. These deaths have hit the state hard, and in a few minutes we'll want to hear from listeners to WCPN in Cleveland and WOSU in Columbus about how deaths there have been felt in your communities. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send us an email, TOTN at NPR.org. But we begin with a story from that same region in Iraq where those troops lost their lives, the Euphrates River Valley. Joining us now from Iraq is Matthew Cox, an Army Times staff writer. He's embedded with the 3rd Battalion of the 21st Infantry Regiment from Fort Lewis in Washington State. And it's good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us, you were traveling with the 21st Infantry, which is an Army unit. You survived a suicide bomb attack on Monday. What happened?
Well, we'd been operating out of Rawa, which is just above the Euphrates, about 35 miles from the Syrian border. The unit decided to push out west, closer to the border. We came into a town. It was a patrol of about 15 strikers. We came into a town by the name of Albu Harden. It was about 2 miles from the border. They did some patrolling in the area. There was actually two car bomb attacks. The first one injured three soldiers, and they were medevaced out. A platoon from Bravo Company, which is the company I'm traveling with, they then came upon four males that were digging holes by a road and to emplace homemade bombs. They gave chase. They caught two of them. They found in the truck. They found two prepared bombs. We said that each of them were contained five 155 millimeter howitzer rounds. They're huge artillery rounds. They were rigged to blow. As we were walking back, they were bringing detainees over to the vehicles. Myself and Army Times photographer James Lee, we were in the back of the striker. The ramp was down. We were getting ready to get on inside. And what I didn't realize was there was a vehicle, I believe it was a Chevy Suburban, that was approaching. It turned the corner and it was rapidly approaching the front of the striker vehicle. There was a soldier in the hatch, saw him, he fired a warning shot, the car didn't stop, so he shot at the vehicle two or three rounds. He believes he hit the suicide bomber, and then because it exploded before it hit the striker, which was good. The explosion was huge. It caught everybody by surprise. I was, like I said, we were in the back. The blast wave came all the way around the vehicle and knocked James and I off our feet. I took a little bit of shrapnel on the leg, left leg, and that's about what happened. We were all pretty lucky.
It sounds like you were. You're on the front lines of the war. As I understand it, Army units are working north of the Euphrates, the Marines south of the Euphrates. How frustrating is it to fight against suicide bombers and roadside bombs?
Well, I mean, luckily, fortunately, it hasn't been as frustrating because they're not succeeding. They do try a lot against this unit I'm with. They ride in Striker combat vehicles. They haven't been very successful. Like I said, we came in July 17th into Rawa. The first day they rolled into town, we rolled into town. They were going to try to meet with some locals. We got ambushed with a roadside bomb and some rocket-propelled grenades. There was nobody hurt. And then for the next 4 days, it was really constant attacks on the unit's patrols. The second day, on the 18th, there was one suicide car bomb attempt against a striker. It blew up, and then they were trying to track the spotter. And I rolled. James and I rolled out a quick reaction force to go, and they were going to go and assist. And we're coming up on the bridge, and they had what they believed to be a male who was the spotter. He was standing outside his car with his hands up. And then from the other side of the bridge, a truck just started speeding towards us. We were all inside the striker. At the last minute, the gunner on the striker, he turned the 50 and shot the vehicle. It exploded before it hit us. It was still a pretty large explosion. The engine block, it was nothing left of the truck, but the engine block hit the striker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, they're certainly trying.
Mm-hmm.
They got hit by B Company and elements of 214 Cav got hit by more than a dozen IEDs and car bombs in that 4 days alone.
You keep mentioning the Striker. This is a new vehicle for the Army, lighter, more agile than the Bradley armored fighting vehicle, or certainly an M1 Abrams tank. How is it performing? How do the soldiers in the unit you're embedded with, how do they like it?
The soldiers love it. It's done really well. Every soldier I've talked to has said, look, this is a vehicle I'd want to ride in. Nothing is indestructible. They've done really well considering the number of times they've been hit. They've been rammed by car bombs. They've been hit with RPGs, and they've still done pretty well.
Finally, the soldiers in the unit you're with, they must know what's been happening to the Marines south of them. What's been the reaction?
There are reports. We hear them. I think it's everybody here thinks it's a terrible shame, they kind of want to, this is a joint operation. I think everybody here would like to just to do more offensive ops instead of, there's some waiting around and then they go and they'll do some offensive operations. But most part, it's just, it's a horrible thing.
Matthew Cox, continued good luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Cox is a reporter, a staff writer with Army Times. He's embedded with the 3rd Battalion of the 21st Infantry Regiment out of Fort Lewis in Washington State, and he spoke to us by sat phone from Rawa in western Iraq. We turn now to Ohio, the home of so many of the recent military casualties. The Cleveland Plain Dealer today devoted its entire front page to deaths in Iraq. Under the banner headline, War Hits Ohio Hard, is a photograph of the parents of one of the dead Marines walking away from the camera. Many of the 19 Ohio-based Marines came from a single Cleveland-area suburb, Brook Park. For the rest of this hour, we want to hear from you in Ohio. How are these deaths affecting you and affecting your state? If you're in Cleveland or Columbus or knew any of the Marines or their families, if you worked with them or worshiped with them, give us a call. Our number in Washington is 800-989-8255. You can send us email at totn@npr.org. We have this from Susan Reef. I live in Southwest Ohio. I'm very sad for and extremely proud of the young men who gave their lives for my freedom. They will always be heroes to me. I feel like they're giving their lives so that my daughter and I can carry on with normal everyday life here. Joining us now is Renita Jablonski, a reporter for member station WCPN in Cleveland. She's just returned from Brook Park, and she's with us from WCPN studios in Cleveland. Nice to have you on the program.
Neil, thank you.
Who were these soldiers? Can you tell us a little bit about a few of them?
Well, I met with at least, I spent a good amount of time yesterday with one family, and this is a family that lives in a suburb called Willoughby, about 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland, who had two sons that were actually part of this battalion. And in fact, the father was describing to me watching the uniformed Marines approaching his door through the windows in his door. And at the center of that window is actually a flag with two blue stars on it, representing both of the sons in the military. And it was very strange to hear him describe what was happening in his mind as he watched the Marines approaching. He was under the assumption that it meant his younger son had been killed, as he thought that Marines for his older son would instead go to his wife's home. And so he began grieving for his younger son, only to find out that it was indeed his son Brian that was killed, his eldest, and then learned about the policy of dual notifications that way for parents and spouse. So, young men that we know of in their 20s, a lot of descriptions of men who really made a point of following this career path. Brian actually joined after 9/11, was inspired to do that.
What was it like in Brook Park today?
Oh, it's a lot different now than it was just 2 days ago after reports of the first six that were killed. If you kind of picture this battalion, it's like this light orangish brick building, and it reminds me of almost an old school building, except without any colorful art projects hanging in the window. And it's got this chain link fence around it, barbed wire tapping off the wall of the fence. And at the front of the fence now, you have a Marine in fatigue standing at the entrance into the parking lot. A gate opens there to allow vehicles that have been given clearance to go in and out. And then to the Marine's right, it's just extraordinary. This memorial that has sprung up along this fence stretches about 70 feet along the fence, and just a pop of color against the usual sight of this battalion. And everything you can imagine, red, white, and blue balloons, ribbons, flags, cards addressed to individual Marines from the area that died this week. All sorts of flowers. You've got homemade vases from milk jugs, and then roses being delivered from flower shops. In fact, while I was there just about an hour ago, a delivery truck dropped off a huge wreath with a note saying from Aunt Lynn in Illinois, and also people from all over Cleveland as well, or the greater Cleveland area, I should say.
Renita Jablonski of member station WCPN. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get some listeners on the line now. This is Georgetta. Georgetta calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi.
I lived around the corner from the Marines, and I would watch them come and go. And after a while, you got to know the faces. And Jeff Boskowitz was actually a customer at the service station where I work.
He was one of the Marines who was killed, yes.
Yes. He was always a nice, polite young man. My heart goes out to the mothers and fathers. I agree with the Schroeders, the parents of another boy who was killed. We don't belong there, sir. I don't want to make this a diatribe against our foreign policy, but we do not belong there. Our boys are losing their lives for no apparent reason. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Georgetta. Let me ask you, Renita Jablonski, Ohio, well, as we all know, it voted for President Bush in the last election. There was just a congressional election in a normally heavily Republican district with a former Marine officer who was running an anti-war campaign. That race was much closer than anticipated.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I talked to a police chief in Martins Ferry where Sergeant Nathaniel Rock, who was killed, was a police officer. And, you know, he was describing how he and Nate would go out hunting and fishing, and that was kind of a big thing in this area. And you're that we're talking about kind of the Appalachian part of the state where a lot of the conservative votes came from. And he, you know, almost became more emotional when I asked him about how he felt about the war than some of the descriptions of the Marine, and said that at the start he supported it, but now feels that that the visit has been too long, and that it's time to leave Iraq.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Tony. Tony calling from Para, Ohio.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Just wanted to say I'm a firefighter here in Parma, and we had a group of guys go and volunteer our time to help with the Toys or Tots program, which was their reserve headquarters in Brook Park was the clearinghouse for the Toys for Tots. There was the collection and distribution point. And I had the opportunity just before Christmas to talk to a bunch of the guys who were getting set, and they were ramping up to be deployed in January. And it kind of grieves me a great deal to think that some of the guys, fine young men that I had talked to at that time, now are dead in this adventure.
Yeah, it's going to change this community forever, isn't it, Tony?
Well, it sure is. A number of people that I've talked to, people who I never thought of as being political or having any interest in foreign policy, are really starting to question and saying, what are we doing there? What for? Yeah. So I think that's going to be the biggest effect of these attacks is people starting to look at this and try and figure out what on earth is going on.
Mm-hmm. Tony, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks, Neil.
And Renita Jablonski, we were primarily talking about the unit based just outside of Cleveland, where you were today. There's also a Lima unit based near Columbus, Ohio, in the southern part
right.
of the state. What's been going on there? What do you hear from that part of the state?
Well, actually, we're hearing now that 9 of the 14 that were killed yesterday were actually from the Columbus-based Lima company. And this does all fall under the umbrella of the battalion, the 3rd Battalion, 25th Marines, that is in Brook Park. And, you know, this, especially for Lima Company, this is a company that has seen a number of losses within recent months. And so that region indeed is taking this hard as well.
Let's see if we get one more caller in before we run out of time. Jerry calling from Cleveland.
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Jerry.
Yes, I'd just like to offer my condolences to the unit that I served in. It's the same unit I served in back in the 50s, late 50s, until I went on active duty. And I'd just like to offer my condolences to them and their families, and say that this has touched us deeply here. And hopefully we can get our troopers over there, the supplies and all they need, and the manpower that they obviously need to get this job done and get home.
Jerry, I think we can all say amen to that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call.
Bye.
And Renita Jablonski, we thank you for your time today.
No, thank you.
Renita Jablonski is a reporter from member station WCPN in Cleveland and was kind enough to join us from the studios of the radio station there. Obviously, stay tuned to NPR News for the latest from Iraq as reports continue to come in. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.